The reading is taken from John chapter 10 and can be found on page 1076 of the Church Bibles. The Good Shepherd and His Sheep. Very truly I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own sheep, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, "Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheepfold. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there should be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I receive from my Father." This is the word of the Lord. Sweet God.
Father, I pray that my spoken words will be true to your written word and lead us towards your living word, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, thank you for having me. Those of you who come at 6:30 sometimes may well have met me before, because certainly when I was living in Blindley Heath, I used to leak over here sometimes. I still come occasionally, but now we're living in Tadworth. My husband's the vicar there. I'm getting a little bit more pulled into the church there, but it's lovely to be here. I was welcomed here 18 months ago when I became the Archdeacon of Reigate. Archdeacon, deacon means to serve, arch, to do it subtly. No, arch was from ruling or leading. And so you know about the church having bishops and having priests and having deacons to serve. Well, bishops have a group of deacons who are senior deacons who sort stuff out. And that is our job, to sort stuff out. We each have an archdeaconry. The Archdeaconry of Reigate goes, broadly speaking, from Lingfield Park Racecourse up to just south of Epsom Downs Racecourse. And from Biggin Hill, I think they had planes there once, down to another airfield called something like Gatwick. So broadly speaking, that's the archdeaconry. And my job is to help the clergy, help the church wardens, to know about things to do with buildings, help appoint new vicars, rectors, or whatever you call them. And there will be one coming, we just can't talk about it. Okay, guys? I can probably put it like that. But until all the checks are done, we can't say anything. And boy, do the police take their time. I wonder what the most beautiful thing you've ever seen is. Anybody seen anything beautiful ever? Sorry? You'll have to shout out because I'm going to have to stay up here today. I normally like running around, but... Your baby. Yay. And even now... No, it's all right. Even now, even when they're looking a bit scruffy, particularly when they get to about 20 and they're male. Sorry, guys, but, you know, they're still beautiful, aren't they? Yeah, anything else you've seen that's beautiful? Sunset. Sunsets. You get some amazing sunsets, don't you? I used to be in Lincolnshire. And the one thing you can say for Lincolnshire is it has big skies. That means it doesn't have any hills. But you'd see these amazing sunsets. Even these flowers. Why is it that flowers that are there so that insects can come in them, we find beautiful? Just thinks it's an interesting question. But things that are beautiful aren't always just things you can see as such. Sometimes they can be things that people do. Do you remember a couple of years ago, the Brownlee brothers, they were running their triathlon in Mexico. I know it's Mexico because I looked it up. But I do remember it because Johnny Brownlow was in the lead. He was going to win. But then the dehydration got to him and he started to weave across. And his brother Alistair, who at that point was in third place, could see what was going on. He put on a spurt of speed, got into second place, and then ran with his brother. And just when they got to the line, just made sure his brother got over the line ahead of him. Now, what he could have done is put that spurt of speed on and then just won the race. And because he did what he did, actually, some other guy came and won the race, and they came second and third. But I don't know the name of that other guy. I mean, who cares? In Mexico in September 2016. But I can remember those brothers. That brother being there for his fellow brother when he needed him. It was beautiful. A good racer would have won the race. The beautiful racer enabled his brother to go ahead of him. And you're thinking, why is she talking about this? Well, those of you who know your Greek really well and are sitting there with your Greek New Testaments while that passage was being read. Okay, the rest of you will have to take this from me. When Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, he's using a particular word for good. See, in Greek, there's two words for good. I've got that the way round, haven't I? Yes, good. I'm not making rude signs at them. Excellent. Two words for good. There's agathos, from which we get the name Agatha, as in a really good book writer. And, yeah, you have to be of a certain age to read Agatha Christie's. And kalos, from which we get the word calligraphy, beautiful writing, kalos. And when Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, he actually says, I am the beautiful shepherd. I don't think he was just saying, look, I'm fit, although maybe he was. I mean, I don't know. None of us have actually seen a picture of Jesus then because they didn't have cameras and no one said, oh, Jesus, just sit for 3 hours while I paint you. So I don't really know what he looked like. But I don't think he was thinking of physical beauty. He was saying, I'm like a shepherd who does it really beautifully. That sort of good. Then he talks about shepherds, you know, the sort that are just hired. And when a wolf comes along, they very sensibly, very logically go, wolf, sheep, me. If wolf looks like it's going to kill me and kills me, it can then kill the sheep. So I may as well just sort of get out of the way of the wolf. It gets one sheep, I can then look after the others. It's logical, it's sensible, it's perhaps good shepherding. But Jesus says that's not beautiful shepherding. beautiful, cares for every single sheep and won't let any of them go. And if that means the wolf gets me instead, so be it. Perhaps for many of us, the most beautiful thing we see is, as you say, our baby. Or perhaps it's seeing a parent, and I don't think this is just women, looking out for their kids. It's funny, before you have children, you look at other people's kids and you think, oh, right. Whatever. And then you have one of your own. And there's something happens. It's bizarre. You lose all rationality and you think, I'll fight for you. I may be a pacifist, but for you I will fight. And if it's between you and me, it's you. I can remember when Ed, my son, was born, he would not sleep. He wanted to eat the whole time. He hasn't changed. Actually, now he sleeps in the morning, but hey, but he still eats the whole time. And I got no sleep. And I was saying, God, what's this about? And God said, just live with it. That's the deal. And it was the deal. And I did live with it. And he's still alive. Miracle, but it's true. Because there's something about children that brings out the beautiful in us. And actually, often, even though I said whatever, often we feel that about other people. There's something. We want to protect them, take care of them. That's why we get so cross when people harm children. And we're right as a society to be really, really, really cross when people harm children and to do what we can to make a difference in that situation. So we do have an idea what it means to be beautiful. But Jesus goes on and says, look, guys, the beautiful shepherd is willing to die for his sheep. And when he was saying this, he wasn't just saying this in a sort of theoretical way, you know, well, they're really amazing, they'd do anything, they'd even die for them, as if that was something just out there. He knew what it was going to mean for him to be a beautiful shepherd to us. That his protecting of the ones he knew then, but also all those who would be his followers, would mean facing down that final enemy. See, there's one fact I can tell you for sure today. You're going to die. Not a lot of people say that these days, do they? We don't like to talk about that. We try and pretend it's never going to happen. But it will. 100% of human beings die. And Jesus was willing to face that, go into that death for us. Do you remember that old psalm? The Lord's my shepherd, therefore I lack nothing. Even though I walk through death's dark valley, the dangerous place, even when I go into death, because you've been there first, he willingly went into that place knowing, well, thought of knowing, I guess. I mean, he was still human. That only by going into it could he defeat it. That is what a beautiful Savior does. Go in and face it. And it wasn't easy for him. I was in some schools over in Brockham and Lye and St Matthews. I did the same story in each because that's what vicars do. Different school, you can do the same story. I did the story of Peter letting Jesus down. You know, where Jesus says, you're going to betray me. And Peter goes, oh, no, I'm not. And Jesus goes, oh, yes, you are. And Peter goes, I'd never do that. And then within hours, he has. And Jesus is there knowing what's about to happen to him and knowing all his friends have run away. And Rocky, Peter, has let him down big time. So it wasn't just physical pain. It was everything. And he did it because it was the only way he could protect us from the stuff that faces us. Fortunately, the story doesn't end there, does it? And I'm so pleased the songs we sing now get through to the resurrection. There was a period where they stopped at Good Friday, which is all very well, but it's because he rose, he conquered the grave. Way through death into a new life. I lay it down, I take it up again. A beautiful shepherd making a way for us to follow. Well, so what for us? Well, one is good news, and it feels more good news the older you get. There are grey hairs, which I dye. Honestly, they call archdeacons venerable because we're old and wise. I try and pretend not to be. Up the gate to life immortal. It may be a bit painful on the way, but it's not the last word. And that makes a whole big difference how you live now. It means that other things are in proportion. So dads, in your parenting, it means that angry boss who's insisting you stay on late when actually you need to go home and take a bit of time with the kids, because really it is the hardest job in the world looking after children, you say to him, actually, I need to go home. Because I'm not scared of you. If I'm not scared of death, why should I be scared of my boss? And if you're any good, it's too much hassle to sack you and recruit someone else, actually. Really, seriously, guys. Stand up to them. Get a balance in life. Your work matters. Don't get me wrong. I'm sure you're doing the most important job in the world, which no other guy could do like you. But your family matters too. Get the right balance. You might be the most amazing brain surgeon. Probably one of you is. But still, get the balance. Do your bit of protecting for the kids at home as well as at work. It could be the flip side. It could be the women who aren't coming home from work. For some reason, our society doesn't do that to us quite the same. So that's a bit of application. Sometimes there are families where being beautiful parents is just really, really, really difficult. We have a society that's made it, if you've just fallen on hard times, you get battered. There are decisions our government has made. I am being political and I don't care. I've been in Scunthorpe, I've seen what it does to people, I've been at the Wellcare Centre in Redhill. What can we do? Well, what we're already doing as Christians, we support Wellcare. If you've got any time to be a volunteer mentor, we're looking for volunteer mentors in Wellcare. We're looking for money to make sure that we've still got people to do one-to-one interventions with families so we can make it a little bit easier for those parents so they're not quite struggling so much so they can manage to do the beautiful thing. There's practical stuff we can still do. I know St. Mary's does care. We really appreciate both the money and the volunteers, but there's always more we can do. I'm also involved in the YMCA and the Next Steps. Most of the good stuff that's done for people in East Surrey is done by Christians. But we need to keep it up because I'm afraid we're in a society where it's getting harder and harder if stuff goes wrong in your life. My sheep hear my voice and follow me. If our shepherd is so beautiful, he will inspire us to be beautiful too. So I pray that this week you'll rest on the beautiful shepherd. You'll bring your fears to him and know that he can take them because he's done and been through the worst for you and come out the other side alive. And you'll be able to resist the pressures that tell you that you've got to do this rather than what you believe you really ought to be doing. I pray that you will take those opportunities. One of my favourite saints is a chap called David. Partly he's my favourite saint because he's British, partly because my dad was Welsh. And he said, do the small things. This week, be a beautiful follower, a beautiful sheep, if you will. And do those small things for people that can make their lives more beautiful too. Amen.